It's important to have a structure because working from home, it's so easy to just sort of flow from one activity to another and then lose track of time. So to have some kind of structure that's, you know, at least a little bit flexible, I think that that's going to be a big help. So
this is Sundays for Seekers, and I'm Jude.
And I'm Father Jay. We're glad you've decided to join our conversation today.
Once again, we'll be thinking aloud about one burning question.
And for us, burning questions are questions about our faith that we've always wanted to ask but never got around to asking.
Father Jay, you know I can't wait to discuss our burning question for this episode.
So welcome then to Sundays for Seekers, for the thinking believer whose faith is seeking understanding.
If you too are curious about your faith, consider yourself a Sunday seeker. Join us as we ask our burning questions about God, about life, about the world.
We may not find all the answers we're looking for, but hopefully our questions will take us to a better place.
Every Sunday, Pins of Light comes up with a one-minute homily, something to provoke you into prayer and reflection. Get your weekly Sunday gospel fix. Follow the Pins of Light Facebook page at facebook.com/pinsoflight. Also available in Filipino at facebook.com/pinoylights.
This podcast is brought to you by SMART, Live Smarter for a Better World, and Unilab, Alagang Tunay, Alagang Pilipino, Unilab yan! Grabe, Father, we've been in this pandemic for more than a year now, even in lockdown, and it's taken its toll on a lot of people. But how have you been?
Well, I think like everyone else, I'm trying my best to keep safe, but also to keep sane. I've just been on campus, you know, I'm avoiding meeting people as much as possible. So a lot of my work is on Zoom, my masses are on Zoom, that kind of thing.
It's really a different kind of life we're all living right now.
And no one expected it to last this long, right? I mean, we thought we were hoping after a year we could now go back to normal, but it's, you know, taking longer than we expected. So that's another thing. That's another layer that adds to the difficulty.
That's true. But at least there are glimmers of hope. There are people getting vaccinated. Have you gotten your shot?
I got my first jab already. So hopefully things, yeah, will really, that hopefully that'll make a difference. So
that's the start. But even with that start of vaccinations, we still don't know how long this will go. And one of the things that people wonder, I wonder myself, and I think it's a perfect burning question for us to discuss in this episode, how have you been keeping it together? It's something that many people have been asking as we all cope through this pandemic. And I like how you put it, Father, keeping safe and keeping sane.
Yeah, because both are so important, no? And I'm glad we're talking about this burning question. It's so relevant. I think it's relevant not only for our viewers and listeners, but even for ourselves. Because that's all of true. Us have to try our best to survive and do better in this pandemic, no? And make the most of it. So how do we keep things together? That's such an important question.
And I think, Father, what better way than for us to actually start discussing this burning question than by sharing how we kept ourselves safe and sane, how we coped through this pandemic the past year and a few months. So how have you, Father?
Well, you know, I've been taking it one day at a time. You know, it's hard to think too far ahead. So I just try to make the most of every day. So as always, we have tasks, right, that we need to undertake. So I try to do what I can during the day. So I keep myself busy. But I also make sure that I'm not just busy, you know, like intellectually. I'm also busy and active physically. So I've been doing a lot of exercise. You know, I've been biking on campus. I'm really lucky because the campus, we have the grounds. So I wear a mask and I make sure to have regular exercise. Do you get some exercise, Jude?
Yeah, last school year, because I guess it was because the schedule was very erratic. it was very hard for me to get some exercise. But through 2021, this year, I found myself really setting a time to exercise because I felt, well, I felt good. It was some sort of an opportunity for headspace for me also. Getting myself out of, as you mentioned, out of that intellectual work that we all have to something more relaxing, but at the same time exhilarating through exercise. Yeah.
It's important to have a structure because working from home, it's so easy to just sort of flow from one activity to another and then lose track of time. So to have some kind of structure that's, you know, at least a little bit flexible, I think that that's going to be a big help. So that's, I make sure to do that. So I'm a morning person. So early morning, that's when I do my prayer. I do my little yoga practice. And then I feed my African gray parrot and I have breakfast with him. And then afterwards, that's when I begin to do the work. No? So it's good to have some kind of structure.
You know, Father, keeping a routine is something very easy to say, but actually very hard to do, especially when things go crazy at work, at home, when people need your attention here and there. But sticking to that routine helps a lot, I figured, especially throughout the summer, because it's something you commit to and it's something that helps you through each day. Without that routine, you'll find yourself all over the place, which I would find myself often last year.
Yeah, you know, the one word that parang people have been talking about lately that became fashionable is the word languishing. I don't know if you got text messages about that or articles. And basically, that's what happens when you don't have a routine, if you don't have a structure. No? The routine doesn't have to be very strict, right? We don't want a very rigid routine or structure, but some kind of guide for you to spend your day. If we don't have that, we'll end up what they call languishing. We'll end up doing that. No? And basically, languishing means you're low bat, you're feeling like you're aimless, you don't know what to do. And so a structure really is a big help. I don't know if you know people who actually experience that. I've had people who've talked to me about it. They may not name it as languishing, but they've talked to me about that feeling of not knowing where to go, feeling aimless, even feeling hopeless, actually.
Yeah, Father. I guess I also have some friends and some people who have talked to me about it. And I would think that I myself actually felt that languishing feeling sometime last year also in the middle of everything while everything was happening. And you're right. Keeping a routine is one of the most helpful things because that routine allows you to stop your languishing and find something that's life-giving in order to pump you up for the next task or for the next day.
Yeah, we've been consulting psychologists about what to do in this pandemic, you know, especially for our students. How do we take care of our students and make sure that they're okay in the university, you know, or even the high school or the grade school. And one of the things that they suggested to us, which I think is helpful, is we shouldn't expect the same level of productivity as we were having before the pandemic. It's a false expectation and it's bound to make you frustrated. So they said what we should do is focus not so much on productivity, but activity to make sure we're busy without, you know, pressuring ourselves unduly that whatever we do will come up with a very good output all the time. It's okay not to be very productive once in a while, but it's important to be active physically, mentally, just so that we can, take our mind off things also. Because if we're not active, that's when we languish. And they also said the activity has to be meaningful. In short, more than productivity, what's important is purpose. So even for just the day, you live one day at a time. As long as you have a purpose for the day, like just taking care of yourself or just relaxing, that can really help you avoid languishing.
That actually helps a lot, Father. And trying to think back at my own pandemic experience, not as if it's already done, but it's one of the things that kept me going, really. Meaningful activity, keeping yourself busy and having a purpose for these things. You know, sometimes I feel guilty for resting, for relaxing, for even exercising, because there are many other things you need to do for this and that. But I really tried to push myself into accepting the fact that these are things also important for myself. And again, going back to why I do these things, it's not because I just want to do it and not work or do what I need to do, but it's something that I need to do in order to take care of myself more.
Yeah, and the purpose doesn't have to be large, no? As we said, productivity is not important, no? Like just learning something, you know, like when you're reading a book, just learning something or taking care of yourself, those are very worthwhile purposes. Or taking care of someone who's sick, right? Taking somebody to the hospital or bringing your parents to the vaccination center, that's a very worthwhile purpose, no? And for those of us who unfortunately got infected, just surviving, just getting better, that's a very worthwhile purpose. So it's just important to be mindful of why, you know, the why is behind what we're doing. When we lose sight of the purpose, that's when we languish and lose hope. So I think that's one important thing I learned about coping in this pandemic, about keeping sane. Just make sure you have a purpose for the day, a worthwhile purpose.
So that's one of the main things, Father. Thank you for that. Keeping yourself sane means creating or finding the purpose for each day and each activity that you do for the day.
And you know, not, Father, it's not easy, you know, because like sometimes you can't help it, but you know, like things happen. Like for example, recently I had a COVID scare because I have a friend who was to whom I was exposed. And so what happened was I had to follow the medical advice of quarantining myself, making sure I don't interact with other people. And you have to wait for about 5 to 10 days before you actually get tested, right? And what I noticed was that during those 5 to 10 days, my anxiety level was so high. I was, you know, thinking of all sorts of things. I was catastrophizing, like, oh no, my throat started feeling like they were itchy. I started coughing. I started having difficulty breathing. Just worrying made me breathe more shallowly. So it was really a very anxiety-filled number of days for me while waiting for my test. No, fortunately the test came out negative. But one thing I learned there, and this might be helpful, one thing I learned there is sometimes it's our thoughts. If we're not careful about how our thoughts affect us, we can really go down that rabbit hole, no? Because our thoughts occur to us and they come from all sorts of places. Sometimes they come from these crazy Viber messages we get about, you know, the virus, right? And about all these quick fixes and they tell you about the, you know, about how you need an oximeter to make sure that your breathing, your oxygen level is okay. So you begin to think about all these things and you give every single thought permission to affect you. And so you get your anxiety level just goes, you know, up every single minute, right? So one thing I learned is you don't have to follow every single thought. You know, like if you know you're doing everything possible already, like in my case, I was already quarantining. I was overdosing on vitamins already. And I was taking rest and I was taking a lot of liquids. All I had to do was wait for the day of the test and wait for the results. There's no real point worrying because I was just feeling worse. And when you get stress, it's not going to help you, right? So I learned that you have to discern your thoughts. You have to decide which thoughts to follow. You have to manage your thoughts. And that's easier said than done, I know, because most of us are not mindful enough. No? But if we practice and we recognize that some thoughts are not helpful, they're just going to make you worried, and you're able to tell them to shut up. You know, it takes practice, but as you get better, you'll be surprised about how liberated you'll feel. I don't know if you've had that experience, Jude.
I actually have had that experience, Father. I was talking about feeling guilty a while ago with relaxing, exercising, simply because I felt I wasn't doing work. Especially after you exercise, you see your phone with all of these messages, all of these emails, even if it's after work. There's that feeling of, oh no, I didn't get the reply right away, or I didn't get to do this or that. And then at the same time, I find myself thinking, but wait, it's after 4 p.m., I can reply afterwards. There's no rush. And as you mentioned, sometimes it's really just our thoughts, thinking that, oh, your boss is going to get mad at you for not replying, or your coworker will think you're not doing your job. But at the end of the day, it's really trying to figure out for yourself when it's time for you to think about yourself, when it's time for you to really work with your office mates and work with your boss. And you know, one of the things that helped me through that, Father, was every day at the end of the day, I found myself going up to the roof. We have this, well, old roof deck that my Lola built for the compound because I love sunsets. And I found myself just sitting there sometime last year just to quiet down because I'd get sucked into the screen, seeing different people on Zoom, meeting different people. So I thought to myself, why don't I just stay outside, watch the sunset, and then just relax? And that was my time to really think about the day. As you said, try to shut up some of my thoughts. Because it's, to be honest, it's so hard to do that while you're in the moment. While you're in a meeting, moving from one meeting to the next with a little over 1 minute or 2 minutes to spare to transfer. And I found that practice of purposefully really getting myself out of my normal place, my normal environment, just to be able to have a, in a way, battle with my thoughts. And in an Ignatian point of view, that's also how I do my examen. I really go back through the day, how I felt, what I did, and then so I can do better the next day and the days to come.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the examen. The examen is actually this prayer that's so easy to do. And some people call it rummaging through your day, looking for God. No? So basically, you remember the day as you were narrating. No? You recall the day and just look for the times when you felt that God was there. And that's, I think that's very helpful. Because the pandemic is really the time for us to take care of ourselves. We have to be gentle on ourselves. The metaphor I use there is we have to be a friend to ourselves. No? And sometimes we're very supportive to our friends. We're very encouraging. But if we check the way we talk to ourselves, we're much harsher with ourselves. We're more demanding with ourselves. No? So this might be helpful. A question to ask ourselves is, how much of a friend are we to ourselves, especially during this pandemic? Some people treat themselves like servants, you know, like they just want themselves to do the work, but they don't really take care of themselves, right? Other people are suspicious of themselves. They don't spend time with themselves. So the self is like a stranger, no? Other people think of themselves as an enemy, like they don't trust themselves. No? So I think that might be helpful in examining how our relationship is with ourselves. No? Are we a friend to ourselves? Are we do we treat ourselves as a servant or a stranger that we're suspicious of, or an enemy that we don't trust? No? That's something I think to think about, because I think in this pandemic, it's important for us to befriend ourselves, to really take care of ourselves. No? Because otherwise, if we don't take care of ourselves, how can we take care of other people?
You know, Father, that really rings true, because I found myself sometime last year not befriending myself to the point that I couldn't befriend others anymore. So you get all the more cranky, you get all the more, you also get, in a way, languishing again, and you find yourself just rummaging through all of these things without really bringing your full self to whatever it is that you do. And one of the things that helped me befriend myself was exercise. As you mentioned a while ago, I felt that it was an opportunity for me to think about myself and to really take care of myself physically, at least, and in a way, emotionally and psychologically, because it was headspace for me, time away from my phone, from my gadgets. Because without that, I would notice, without exercise, without my weekly yoga practice also, just like you, I'd be more cranky, I'd be more stressed, and I'd be just bed bat and low bat the rest of the day or the next day. So that's one of the ways I try to befriend myself. What about you, Father? How have you been befriending yourselves?
Well, I'm very disciplined in terms of when I should stop working. You know, like usually, because I wake up early, I start working quite early, and I feel I'm best at my work in the morning. But by 4 o'clock, I try to avoid any Zoom meetings already or any work. Yeah, I basically just sort of relax and do some reading that I like, or go through, watch some YouTube or Netflix, no, just to relax myself. So I'm very particular about the cutoff time for my work. I think that's very helpful. Otherwise, I'll get so sick of, you know, the work, right? And I'll be burning myself out. It's important. I think that's the way I try to be a friend to myself. So yeah, because, you know, our default is usually we treat ourselves not as a friend, right? Our default is we treat ourselves either as a servant, we drive ourselves to work, you know, or as a stranger or as a friend. Actually, that's a good takeaway question that we can ask our listeners and viewers. No? Of course, treating yourself as a friend is the ideal, so we won't give that as one of the options. But if we look at the other three, which are less than ideal, what is your tendency? Do you tend to treat yourself more as a servant, as a stranger, or as an enemy? No? So Jude, what do you think? What is your default? If you have to choose among those three, we all want to be a friend to ourselves, right? But if you had to choose from among the three, what is your default? And it's important to know, because it helps you improve the way you relate with yourself, right? So how would you answer that takeaway question, Jude?
For me, I find myself more of a servant to myself. I guess it's because service has been second nature to me because of my parents. And not only outwardly, but also inward, that I find myself just doing things for others without really thinking about myself. Just like yesterday, I remember my girlfriend telling me, you know, sometimes you have to think about yourself also. You can't just be, you can't just go around and think about others. Because at the end of the day, you won't have anything for yourself anymore. So little reminders like that remind me that I need to befriend myself more, and that I'm being too much of a servant, not just to others, but also to myself.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if you tend to treat yourself as a servant, you should really, what it's telling you is you should stop being such a taskmaster, stop being so demanding of yourself, and be more of a friend. Give yourself more time to rest, more time to replenish your energy. So that's a good girlfriend to have, someone who can remind you about that, right? On the other hand, if you're somebody who treats yourself as a stranger, like you don't really know yourself, then that points you to what you're supposed to do. Try to get to know yourself better. Spend more time with yourself. Give yourself more me time. Reflect more about the things that you like to think about, and get to know yourself better, right? And then finally, if you think of yourself as an enemy, then you may want to ask yourself, why do you lack trust in yourself? Maybe you need to build more confidence and have more faith in yourself. So I think that's a good takeaway question, because it'll tell you more or less what are the steps you need to take to improve your relationship with yourself. So basically, from your burning question, we actually came up with three tips, right? Right. The first tip is to, you know, not focus so much on productivity, but to think about purposeful activity, meaningful activity. The second tip is not to be too obsessed with your thoughts, but to choose, make a decision which thoughts you're supposed to allow to affect you, right? And the third one is just befriend yourself, just be good to yourself, and don't be a stranger to yourself or servant or enemy. So I think those are very simple, down-to-earth tips, right? And something for our listeners and viewers to think about.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for those reminders and tips that would really be helpful for us through this pandemic, because we don't know how long this would go for, but we hope and pray that things be better and turn out to be better in the days, weeks, and months to come.
If you want to subscribe to Sundays for Seekers, you can find us in all the usual places where you find podcasts. Be a Sunday Seeker by joining our Facebook group, Sundays for Seekers, at facebook.com/groups/Sundays4S. Tell your friends about us by using the hashtag, #Sundays4S.
Father Jade, last episode you shared about one of your crucifixes, the Javierada crucifix. Do you have a crucifix to share with us today?
Yeah, in fact, I do. I thought I'd share with you this a special cross. It's called Light of the World. And it must look familiar to you because it's found in the oratory of St. Francis Xavier in Xavier School, New Valley. You know? It was designed by a friend of mine, Carlo Tenseco. And what I like about this cross is that it's really modeled after the smiling Christ in the castle of Javier of St. Francis Xavier, no? And that image of a smiling Christ while crucified, I think, is a very good reminder to us, right? Because of the pandemic we're going through, it's a reminder that we can smile even amidst our suffering and our pain. So I find myself these days looking a lot upon this crucifix to remind me that, yes, things aren't going perfectly well. Some people are having really a difficult time, but it's important to still smile and say there are good things, you know, that are happening in spite of what's going on. And that should keep our spirits up. That's one way of befriending ourselves, just sort of tapping yourself on the back and saying, it's not that bad, no? And like one mantra I keep repeating to myself is, as long as you're breathing, there's more things right with you than wrong. So just to remind ourselves that things aren't as bad as sometimes the media, you know, portray it to be.
You know, Father, aside from the smiling Christ, it's really just the color, because from afar, it's one of the, in a way, rare crucifixes that's very colorful. So it brings light and life to a room when you hang it.
Yeah, actually, the colors stand for the elements of the world, there, no? Fire, air. So there's a whole explanation there. But you're right, the colors are so vivid and so attractive. So it's one of my favorite crosses.
Every Sunday, Pins of Light comes up with a one-minute homily. Something to provoke you into prayer and reflection. Get your weekly Sunday gospel fix. Follow the Pins of Light Facebook page at facebook.com/pinsoflight. Also available in Filipino at facebook.com/pinoylights.
Father Jay, it's now time for us to get a question from our Sunday Seekers from the Facebook group. So our question for this episode is from Christine Isabel Falguera. She asked, how do we cope with living the faith in this time of pandemic when we are isolated and alone?
Yeah, that I can feel that where that question is coming from, because I think isolation and feeling alone, that those are really feelings very familiar to us because of the pandemic, because of the lockdown, right? So I think it's important for us to really go out of our way to connect with people, especially because we are not connected to people. No? Zoom is not the best way to do it, but if that's the only way, we should make sure we do that. And not just for work, right? We should make sure we connect with our friends just to chat, just to check on people, maybe just to even drink over Zoom during the Zoom sessions, right? Just to make cuento. That's so important, because otherwise, our need for connecting to other people, that's not going to be fulfilled. So I think that's important. The other thing is like having an online community, like Sundays for Seekers. That's something that we've tried to do. We've tried to keep a community of people who are interested in the faith. And that's one way of living out the faith, just making sure that you do so in a community, even if it's online. The other thing I want to say about living out our faith in the pandemic is that really, the best way to live out our faith is to flex our faith. And I use the verb flex deliberately, because faith is like a muscle. If we don't exercise our muscle, it's going to get weaker. And the pandemic is a time for greater faith. We need more faith during this pandemic. And it's important for us to exercise that muscle of our faith. We need to flex our muscle. So, despite all the uncertainty, despite all the anxiety, despite all the unanswered questions, like we don't understand why things are going their way, we still have to say we trust God, that He is, you know, going to make sure that things are going to get better. He will take care of us. So I think that's what I mean by flexing the faith. No? And if we do that within a community, with our friends, with an online faith community, I think that's certainly one good way of living out our faith in this pandemic. I hope that answered the question.
Thank you, Father. You know, Father, one thing I learned from young people nowadays is that they don't actually use Zoom for kamustahan and in a way friendship type sessions. Instead, they use Discord more. Do you know Discord?
I've heard of it, but I've never used it, being a digital, you know, dinosaur.
Yeah, but it's one of the things that they use, because you can choose rooms, move from one room to the next. And as you mentioned, it's a great opportunity to flex your faith to, well, for young people to see when you are with them in these rooms. And I find myself often really trying to be there with them and flexing whatever it is that I can flex: faith, hope, positivity. And it really sends out these positive vibes that are all the more important for the lives of our young people who feel that their life has been put on hold and who feel that the greatest years of their lives have been taken away from them. So thank you again, Father.
Thank you. I should try out Discord sometime.
If you want to subscribe to Sundays for Seekers, you can find us in all the usual places where you find podcasts. Be a Sunday Seeker by joining our Facebook group, Sundays for Seekers, at facebook.com/groups/Sundays4S. Tell your friends about us by using the #Sundays4S.
So Jude, it's been great just talking about how we've been coping in this pandemic. So thanks also to all our viewers and listeners.
Thank you too, Father. Meanwhile, we hope you watch out for our study guide next week on our Facebook group, Sundays for Seekers.
So what do we tell them, Jude, at the end of our podcast? We tell them,
keep on seeking.
So keep on seeking, everyone.
The Sundays for Seekers logo was designed by Jem Jemson Tan. Our theme was composed by Marvin Ong. And this episode was produced with Glenn Lopez of Upstream Media PH. Sundays for Seekers has been brought to you by SMART, Live Smarter for a Better World, and Unilab, Alagang Tunay, Alagang Pilipino, Unilab yan!